Let's continue the theme of doubt that we've started to look at. In fact, this is the fourth message on the theme now. Back in Matthew chapter 14, where we read Matthew 14 and Jesus walking in the water and calling Peter to come to him on the water. So Matthew 14, verse 28, Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Doubt. Now remember that what we've already seen is that doubt is a kind of reservation in our thinking, that where we should trust, but we've got this mental reservation, this "I would trust but," and you've got this word "but," and there's a reason in your head that you can't trust. And doubt, we've seen, is caused by wrong thinking. That is, doubt in Jesus and in his power is caused by wrong thinking. So today we're going to think about doubt, and particularly think about doubt and the Bible, doubt and God's word. And especially I'm thinking about things that God says to us as people. Anything God or Jesus in the Bible tells us to do or tells us to believe, I'm thinking about doubting that. Anything that you read in the Bible, think that's something God's saying to me, or that's something he's saying generally and it includes me, or Jesus is saying that to me. Anything like that that we read and we doubt it. That's what I'm thinking about. Doubt and God's word. And so Jesus here, the word of Jesus here, is to Peter, "Come." Now because Jesus is saying "come" to Peter, even though there's a stretch of water between him and Peter, because Jesus is saying to Peter, "Come," then, and Peter has said, "Tell me to come to you on the water." It's not like Peter's going to swim. Because Jesus is saying "come," then the water has become like a road. Because Jesus has said that to Peter, the water has become like a road that he can walk on. That's what happens with God's word. God's word creates whatever it needs to create in order for us to see that it's true. And the water, although it still looks like water, if Peter trusts Jesus, then it'll just feel like a road for him to walk on. It'll feel like a safe, solid way. Jesus, the Son of God, they're going to call him in verse 33, is able to do that, just as he is walking in the water himself. So my question as we start this morning is, do we walk on a safe, firm, and wonderful road in our lives, a road paved with God's word today, paved with the promises of God? Are we walking on that road today? A road that is made safe and that is made secure and firm and solid under our feet because it is paved with God's word, God's truth, God's promises. Or are we sinking today because of our doubts? Are we sinking because of our doubts? So today I'm taking aim at doubt, where it's doubt in God's word, where it's doubt in things God says. And I want to destroy that doubt, because doubt is just like rust. It eats away and it corrodes and it undermines and it destroys. We want to destroy doubt today. So remember our little slogan, "Out with doubt." If we're Christians, then we don't want doubt at all in our lives when it comes to God. Out with doubt. So Jesus here is saying to this man, Peter, "Come." This is the word of the Son of God. This is the sovereign word of God, and he's saying, "Come." Let me just tell you five things about that word very quickly. First of all, although it may not look like it, it's an absolutely reasonable word. It's a word of reason. You think, but he's telling Peter to walk on water. Yes, he's telling Peter to walk on water. But if Jesus is doing it, it's a word of reason. And how do we know that? Well, because Jesus is walking on water. Jesus is standing on the water. And so Jesus is asking Peter to do something that's perfectly reasonable in this situation because Jesus is doing it. So Jesus' word is a word of reason. Second thing is, it's a word of provision. Anything that the Lord says to us is a word of provision. In other words, whatever we need, he's going to provide. And if we're going to walk in water, we need him to keep us on a firm footing to be able to do so. Well, he'll do that. We can't do it without him, but he'll provide. Thirdly, it's a word of salvation. We know that if we try to do it without him, we'll sink. But he will stop us from sinking. He will save us from sinking. It's a word of salvation. He'll lift us up. Fourthly, it's a word of invitation. Obviously, it's a word of invitation. If you want to come, Jesus is saying, you can come. I'm inviting you to come. The provision and the salvation are for you, Peter, so that you can walk in the water to me. And finally, it's a word of command. This is the will of Jesus. Jesus is saying, come. It's not something that Peter can say, I'll do it next time. It's a word of command. And to deny the word of command of Jesus is to spurn the provision, and it's to spurn the salvation in favour of our own choices and our own effort. So these five things, a word of reason and provision and salvation, it's a word of invitation, and it's a word of command. And Peter understands this. It just seems to click in Peter's mind. He understands it. Jesus is walking on the water. He can get out and walk in the water to Jesus as well. Jesus is commanding him. He's inviting him. He's going to provide for him. He's going to save him from sinking. Jesus is walking water himself, so it's an entirely reasonable thing to think Peter can do it too. And he gets out of the boat, and verse 29, it says he walked on the water and he came towards Jesus. Well, how did he manage to do that? Well, because Jesus said he could. If Jesus says it can happen, it'll happen. And everything is going really well. Peter is looking to Jesus, trusting in Jesus, and he's walking on the water. Because Jesus' word, come, is the word that Peter is obeying. And with Jesus' word, come, comes all the provision, all the salvation that Peter needs to be able to walk in the water. And then the mental reservations begin to creep in. A little word, but I can't do this. People don't walk on water. It's very windy and the waves are big and I'm frightened of drowning and I'm beginning to sink and I'm sinking now. And he sinks. What happened? Well, Jesus tells us what happened in verse 31. If you like, Jesus gives us the postmortem on Peter's faith. And there's two things in it. First, Jesus says, you of little faith. You of little faith. You've got some faith, Peter, but it's only a little. Now, you may not remember, back in July, I preached a sermon about this little faith from Matthew 17, because Jesus uses this word little faith several times in Matthew's Gospel. And I said then that little faith is all you need. Jesus said that. If you have faith, if you have faith like a mustard seed, he said, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. It's all any of us needs is little faith. But little faith has a problem. If it's little faith that you have, then it easily gets lost in the middle of all the noise of life. Remember the illustration I used then of part of our lawn, and we were counting all the different wildflowers, and there was one that was tiny, tiny little flower that I didn't see at all, but Bridget managed to spot it down there. And it could easily have got lost in among all the weeds in the lawn and all the other things. If your faith is like that little flower, it can easily get lost. Little faith is enough, but it's very easily overthrown and lost sight of, and that's what happens here. Peter has faith in Jesus, but then his faith gets lost by the wind and the waves and all his frightened thoughts. The second thing is, Jesus says that he doubted. Why did you doubt? That little faith that he had was overthrown by his doubt. And doubt, remember, comes out of wrong thinking. Wrong thinking leads to the word but. And in this case, the wrong thinking is this. Peter is thinking, people can't walk on water because the laws of nature don't let people walk on water. And therefore it can't happen, and therefore I must sink. Now you think that may be a perfectly reasonable thing to think, but Jesus is walking on water. So it's not a reasonable thing to think anymore because Jesus is walking on water. And if Jesus is walking on water, then it can happen. And Jesus has commanded Peter to come walking in water to him. So Peter shouldn't be thinking, well, the laws of nature don't allow this, because clearly it's not about the laws of nature. Because Jesus is over the laws of nature. And that's why in this chapter he can feed 5,000 people and he can heal the sick and he can calm the storm and he can walk on the water. Because he is above the laws of nature. The laws of nature are established by God. And he's the one who makes them and sustains them. But who is stronger than the laws of nature? The one who makes the laws of nature. The living God himself. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, here. So, when you're with Jesus, what is possible? What is possible in your life today when you're with Jesus? Is it only what the laws of nature allow? Because if it is, there's no point in praying. Because if it is, there's no point in asking the Lord for anything. Well, of course, the point is, throughout the Bible, that when you're with God, when you're with Jesus, the laws of nature don't determine what is possible. The power of Jesus determines what is possible. And Peter should have known this, because he's heard from Jesus' mother Mary, that when the angel Gabriel visited her before she conceived Jesus, he said to her, with God nothing is impossible. And in the stories of the Old Testament, which Peter and the others knew so well, there are many times God says things like that. Like God says to Abraham in Genesis 18, is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's the situation that we're in. And there are several times in Matthew's Gospel that Jesus says things like that. With God, all things are possible, he says. So what's possible with Jesus here? Now, I'm going to take you on a wee trip here, and I want you to think about this. You might think I'm being ridiculous in what I'm about to say, but you need to think differently about the world that you live in. Because this is not the world of the laws of nature. This is God's world. The world in which we exercise faith in Jesus Christ is God's world. It's Jesus' world. So the things that can happen in this world are not determined just by the laws of nature. God leaves the laws of nature to kind of look after things when he doesn't want to intervene in other ways himself. But when he does want to intervene, he can set aside the laws of nature any way he wants. And he can do anything he wants. That's the world we live in. The reality of the world we live in is it's not a world that's locked into the laws of nature. Because if that's all we've got, then we need not ask God for anything, because if God's going to answer, he's going to have to break the laws of nature. He's going to have to step in and change the things that the laws of nature are making difficult for us. But we're in God's world. The laws of nature are only part of it. What's possible with Jesus, in Jesus' world, is everything. So, in Jesus' world, people walk on water. Use your imagination. In Jesus' world, you can choose whether you want to obey the law of gravity or not. In Jesus' world, you can breathe underwater. In Jesus' world, when you bring water to the boil, it turns to ice. In Jesus' world, water flows uphill. In Jesus' world, axe heads float on water. In Jesus' world, water can become wine. In Jesus' world, water can just flow out of rocks. In Jesus' world, you can run your car on water. Anything can happen. That's how we should think about the world. This is Jesus' world. Anything can happen. God's word says, with him, all things are possible. Nothing is too hard for him. In Jesus' world, you can pay your debts even if you've got no money. In Jesus' world, cancer tumors get smaller and smaller and disappear. In Jesus' world, sinners can become like they've never sinned. In Jesus' world, the broken china of our lives can become like it never had been broken. This is not another world I'm talking about. This is the world we're in now. This is Jesus' world. It's not a world just of the laws of nature. I wish you could see this, and I wish I could see this properly. That's the world Jesus was in when he called Peter to come to him walking on the water. It wasn't the world just of the laws of nature, or Peter wouldn't walk on the water and Jesus wouldn't walk on the water. It was the world of the power of God. And it's the world of the power of God we're in today. So there's no place for doubt in the Word of God. If the Word of God says come, then it's the word of reason. Even if coming seems impossible to the laws of nature, as Peter's walking in the water was. It's a word of reason, it's a word of provision, it's a word of salvation, it's a word of invitation, and it's a word of command. It's a word from God in God's world where all things are possible. Anything God's word says can happen. And Jesus knows this. And that's why Jesus seems so often, and you can see this several times in Matthew's Gospel, he seems so often just to be unable to understand how slow the disciples are to understand this. When Peter's and others just can't seem to see, they're not just in the world of the laws of nature. They're in God's world. And he says to him, why did you doubt? And you might think, well, actually, I thought Peter did pretty well. He walked in the water for a little. And Jesus is saying, why did you doubt? Why is your faith so small? And he's saying that to you, and he's saying it to me as well today. Without a doubt, he's saying that to us. Why? Why did you doubt? Did you think that God couldn't do this? If I said to you to come, did you think God couldn't enable you to come? Or did you think that you could do it better than I could do it? So this is like a kind of judgment day for Peter. Why did you doubt? Jesus is asking us that question today as well. Why did you doubt? Think of the times you've doubted God and you've had no peace. Your life's been in turmoil. And you should have trusted him because now you look back and you see that he took you through it. But you were all in a mess because you were full of doubt. Your little faith got lost in all your problems. On Judgment Day, Jesus will ask this question. Why did you doubt? Because doubt is a sin. When we come to the Word of God and God says something and we doubt it, that's a sin. So Jesus is like here, sitting on his great white throne, judging the world. Why did you doubt? And we'll all be speechless before him. Because we can't. We can't defend ourselves in the face of the Lord and his glory. Why did we doubt him? Abraham will rise up and he will condemn us. Remember what happened with Abraham? Romans 4 verse 20. God had promised him a son. It says he did not waver through unbelief. Literally it says he didn't doubt in unbelief regarding the promise of God. But he was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God and he was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to do. God's word of promise spoke. Abraham didn't doubt it. He didn't have reservations about God's word because of unbelief. That's what Romans 4:20 says. He didn't doubt in unbelief. And you see, doubt and unbelief, they're just made of the same cloth. It's hard to see where one ends and one begins. And the unbelievers, remember the book of Revelation tells us, the unbelievers are outside after that day of judgment. They're outside. They're no longer in God's world. In God's world where salvation is possible, where glory is possible, where all things are possible. They're no longer in that world. They're in a world that's without God. So they're in a world where the only thing that rules are the laws of nature, the law of gravity, that will sink people under their own condemnation. So there's a warning here that we could easily miss out, not just on walking on water, but on salvation, because we doubt. Doubt's not a light thing. It's not a small thing. Jesus is rebuking Peter here. Why are you doubting? My word. I said come. You're not in the world of the laws of nature, you're in my world. If I say come and you have to walk on water, then you'll come walking on water. But you might think, well, that was Peter. Jesus actually said come to him. But he's saying come to you as well. Maybe you haven't heard that. I know that we've got to be listening for Jesus' voice usually to hear it. You probably won't hear Jesus' voice unless you're listening. Every day, you've got to be listening for Jesus' voice. And if you don't hear Jesus' voice, then you can't trust it. You can't put faith in it. And if you don't put faith in the voice of Jesus, you won't be saved. So where are you going to hear Jesus' voice saying, come to you? Well, it's all over the place in the Bible. But just confining ourselves to Matthew's Gospel, here's a few examples. Matthew 4:19, come, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are laboring and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is commanding. Remember that word. It's a word of provision. It's a word of salvation. It's a word of invitation. It's a word of command. It's a word of reason. He's commanding you to come if you're weary and burdened, and he'll give you rest. We had with the children, let the little children come to me. And there's this parable of the banquet. Go into the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you can find. You're being invited to the banquet. Jesus is saying, come. The word of God to you this morning is, come. It's a word of reason, provision, salvation, invitation. It's a word of command. In God's world, not in a world of the laws of nature just, but in God's world. And so you can't put things in the way. You can't say, but I can't walk on water. Or, but what will my friends say? Or, but I'm too old. Or, but I'm too young. Or, but I'm too hard. Or, but it's too soon. Or something like that. You can't put anything in the way of God's world, of God's word, which says to you this morning, come. Because if you do, that's doubt. That's unbelief. And remember, unbelievers end up in a world without God. And if you're in a world without God, you're left to the laws of nature. And the laws of nature alone are miserable masters. God is inviting us to come. We're in his world, so the opportunity is here for us today to come just as Peter came, walking in the water. And we can't say, you know, the wind is too strong, or people don't walk in water, or, you know, my friends will not like it, or I've done too many sins, or I'm afraid, or whatever, because it's the word of God. And God's word is a word of command. It's a word of invitation. It's a word of provision and salvation. It's a word of complete reason. And if you're doubting it, remember, why would Peter doubt that he could walk on water when Jesus is standing on the water and has just walked across the lake to where he is? It's possible because with God, whatever he says is possible is possible. So if he commands you this morning and says, come to me, you who are laboring and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest, you can come to him. And it doesn't matter what water you have to walk on, and it doesn't matter what obstacles you have to negotiate, you can do that because he will enable you to do that, because his word is a word of power. It's a word of the possible. It's a word that can make you come to him and receive from him whatever provision, whatever salvation, whatever you need, the forgiveness of your sins, the remaking, the healing, the restoration of your life. God is calling you then this morning to come to him. And he's calling you from on the water, if you like, from a place of miracle, from a place of command over the laws of nature. And he's saying, let there be no doubt in your mind about the power that lies behind my command to you to come. I can do whatever needs to be done so that you can come to me. And if that means that your sins need to be dealt with, that means that your fears need to be dealt with, if that means that your worries need to be dealt with, if that means that your friends need to be dealt with, or your personal circumstances that are in a mess need to be dealt with, then God can do it. Because He is God. And He is over the laws of nature. You don't want to be left to the laws of nature today. You want the power of God in your life. You need the power of God in your life. And He's saying, come. So you come to Him this morning without doubting. And He will prove His power to you. Amen.